Oh my gosh, what a conversation I just had with Laura Hope. It was so awesome. I mean, we talked about unwanted habits and behaviors and how do we deal with those and step into like greater confidence and control over our lives and stuff that we do that we don't even realize. Like, I used to bite my lip all the time, and I used to, bite my nails and sometimes I still even have a habit of going to grab sugar when I'm stressed out or worried. Like these habits and things that pop up in our life that we don't even sometimes realize it's a habit, like biting the inside of my cheek. I do it all the time when I'm like working on a big project, when I'm nervous about something coming up. It's so interesting. And this is what she helps with because she had the habit of pulling her hair out when she was younger. She said it started around 12 years old, and she just kept pulling her hair out. And so, guys, what an amazing conversation. This was so freaking good. You have to sit and watch, especially if you know there's something in your life that you just want to get rid of. Here we go.
What's up, y'all? This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. I am so excited that you're here, right? Because if we're here, we're alive, we're in the world, we can get to experience life. And today's guest, Laura Hope, is here because she is amazing. She's a transformative force behind Hope and Healing Coach. I cannot wait to have a conversation with her, right? So we met a little while ago. I thought she was so freaking cool. And she helps people break free from unwanted habits. Hobbits. Can you imagine a hobbit? All right. She helps us break free from unwanted habits and step into greater confidence and control. Now she's a clinician, a BFRB advocate. So you have to tell us what that is. Okay. Mom of two teens. Girl, I'm sorry. Yeah, I know. And a self-proclaimed plant enthusiast, Laura's greatest passion lies in meeting people exactly where they are and guiding them towards radical self-acceptance. Now, if you're ready to shed some old freaking habits, because I know I am, and embrace a healthier relationship with yourself, you're not going to want to miss this. So, Laura, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thank you, Nina. Doing well today. Like you, I'm put my feet on the floor. I'm up and moving. We're doing good.
Good. And now that I said that you're working with hobbits, it's unwanted hobbits. Oh, Lord have mercy. What is a BFRB?
Yeah, so BFRB stands for Body Focused Repetitive Behavior. This is kind of an umbrella term that includes hair pulling, skin picking, nail biting. A lot of people struggle with cheek biting, biting the insides of their cheeks, biting the skin like that, like those little loose pieces of skin on your lip. So, body focused repetitive behavior, or BFRB, is any of those types of behaviors where people feel stuck with them. They feel like they just can't quite get out of it. They can be really difficult behaviors to change. So that is one particular behavior that I really enjoy working with people on. And the methods that I use though can really be applied to any unwanted behavior, whether it is, and things outside of BFRBs, stress eating, impulse buying, angry outbursts,
Girl,
procrastination, all
who
those
sent
things.
you my resume? Who sent you my information is what I want to know. Because Lord have mercy, she started with the nail biting, y'all. When I was a kid, I was a nervous kid because I had a lot of anxiety from all the hurt that I was going through. I used to bite my nails almost to bleeding, right? And then the inside of my cheek, sometimes I still find myself biting that skin on the inside. It feels kind of good, to be honest. And then you're talking about impulsive eating, but oh Lord, okay, Laura, you about to have me as a patient. It's what's happening? So before we get all into that, I do want to know a little bit more about you and who you are. And I know you have two teens. Girl, I had three in the house at the same time. I didn't know how I was going to survive. So tell us a little bit about Laura.
Yeah, so I am just a person on a mission to grow and learn more about myself and be more honest with myself because truly, I spent many years not being honest with myself. And so the things that I've learned along the way to get me to that point where I can grow and be honest with myself and regulate myself, I want to share those things with other people. because it's taken me a lot of years to get to this point, and I want to help speed that process up for other people. It's not necessarily like there's no quick fix, right? But we can definitely speed that process up for people. So that, you know, that's who I am and what I love to do.
What triggered that for you, though? Was there something that you were doing, biting your lip or you're doing all those kind of things? What were you doing that made you say, okay, I really need to fix this. This has to stop.
Yeah. So I started pulling my hair when I was in my early teens, maybe 12-ish, something like that. And I spent a good 20 years not telling a single soul that I was pulling my hair. You know, my mom took me to see like a dermatologist because I had a bald spot. And you know, so kind of went through this. And in the end, you know, they said, oh, you have alopecia areata, which is a medical condition where your hair falls out. And I just kind of ran with it. I was like, okay, let's say that. And so I spent 20 years telling people about these bald spots because of this medical condition, because I felt so much shame about that I was the one doing this to myself, as I thought then. I don't see it anymore.
Yeah.
And so a lot of shame there. And then, you know, I struggled with that, and I got to a point in life, there were a lot of things going on. I went through a really nasty divorce, and that was ugly. And kind of after that, I felt really like broken, and I felt like I had to kind of build myself back up. And in that, I started, you know, telling people that, you know, I was pulling my hair out. I started seeking help. I started going to, you know, conferences and workshops. And I went to a retreat for people with BFRBs. And so once I started kind of opening up to the world about this being something that I was struggling with, I learned that there were a lot of resources out there to help me. And so, you know, I took all of these resources in, and there are all these strategies when you're working with, you know, BFRBs, there are a lot of the focus is on strategies, which is fantastic. But I amassed all of these strategies wearing a hat. Right now I wear wigs. I'm living my best hair life with wigs. I love wigs, but that helps me. And so there are all these strategies, and I had all these strategies, and it just wasn't quite enough. Like there was still something missing. And finally, on my path, I learned that these strategies don't work without acceptance of where we are at right now and self-compassion. And once you bring those two things in, acceptance and self-compassion, then the strategies work. Then you can do these things. But for as long as you are beating yourself up over, you know, struggling with this behavior, whatever the behavior is, if you're like holding a grudge against yourself because you haven't let it go yet.
So good.
Interfere with moving past the behavior, because these are all just coping tools. There's nothing bad about them. They're just ways to cope. As you said, you know, you had stressors, right? And you turned to these things. They helped you cope.
That's really deep, though. As you said that, I felt that like in my chest, right? The shame part. Because so long I was in so much shame, and still I still deal with it. Like, you know, I was just doing a tapping session just before our call, right? With someone, and it released a lot of like this energy, and I'm like, now everything's starting to make me cry. Like, what the hell? Like, what is going on right now? Okay, but what happened was, is, you know, yesterday, you know, I've been trying to lose weight for a very long time. So since I was a child, right, just listening to you speaking is bringing back all these things. And you know, I was abused a lot as a child, so I used to hide in the corner and eat to soothe the hurt that I was feeling, you know. And as an adult, I'm 52, and I still find myself not hiding in the corner, but I'll eat things to soothe anxiety, worry, anxiousness, you know, things like that. And so lately, what's happened these last like 2 weeks, I had an attack on my website with all of my emails, and they've gotten into my bank account. They took all my money, like all that kind of stuff. And that anxiety and worry, oh my God, I don't have any money because it's gone. Like, I can't get it back. And they're trying to work it out, but I don't think I'm going to get it back. That has given me such a stressor of anxiety. What did I do yesterday? I ate a piece of cake. I went into the fridge looking for ice cream. I was looking for sugar everywhere in the house. I try not to keep it in the house, so I don't do that. And I was like, whoa, stop a second. What are you doing? Right?
So Laura, I get it, because you can definitely give me tools to say to me, hey, Nina, like the coping pieces, don't put sugar in your house.
Exactly.
But I need to go deeper, girl. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, I got to stop this behavior. It's like, what is this shit? You know? So I love that you did that. I love that you took the strategies, the tools that, you know, all that you do with your patients and your clients and all that. And now you're saying, no, we're going to start having some compassion for ourselves.
Yeah.
We're bringing another element here so that you can love yourself through the healing. That's what it sounds like you're doing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the other thing, just to touch on, you know, those strategies, like you said, I've got these strategies, right? But there's something missing. Those strategies, especially when you have a bunch of them, can actually contribute to the shame. Because then people say, I know what to do differently. I know what I should be doing and I'm not doing it. And so it just feeds the shame. So again, bringing in that self-compassion, recognizing that that behavior is trying to help you. It's trying to support you. It is trying to soothe you. It's not trying to ruin your life. So how can we invite it in for tea and listen to it and acknowledge it and respect it for what it's trying to do? And yet, like a kid, right? Like, you know, you can soothe a kid and say it's going to be okay without saying, yeah, let's eat the ice cream before dinner, right? Same thing, saying, you know, I appreciate what this behavior is trying to do for me. And I have decided I want to cope in these other ways instead, because these other ways feel better to me long term.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So do you do that? Do you do that more on a conscious level, or is there something that you do to the subconscious level as well, right? Because I think about how consciously I know, and you're right, shame does play a big piece in this, because I should know better. And this is where I was struggling the other day, because I'm like, girl, you know, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you know better. And then that gave me like a bad girl feeling, you know? And then I just felt like a bad person all day. And I'm like, girl, as much as I've helped people with neuro-linguistic programming and hypnosis and all that shit, we still have stuff. We still have stuff. So take me through what you do with your clients. So a client comes in, they're having this recurring thing that's happening to them. Mm-hmm. Talk to us about your process. What is it that you're doing with the people that come to you?
Yeah. So my process is to really, and I acknowledge that people want the strategies, right? People want the actionable to do, right?
And always do, of course.
So I respect that and I sprinkle that in. But I also talk to people about changing their mindset. For example, we talked about just a second ago, you know, not looking at these behaviors like they're this terrible thing that's trying to ruin your life, but looking at these behaviors as this is something that is trying to help me, but it's not happening in the way that I want. So shifting that mindset so we can look at these behaviors differently and stop trying to shove them away, because we don't want to shove them out of our lives. It really doesn't work very well. I say that that's like a rubber band, right? The more you pull on it away, the more you try to get rid of it, the stronger it's going to try to come back in, right? So we don't want to shove them away. Mm-hmm. We want to teach those parts of us to play nice in the sandbox with the rest of the parts, right? We want to help it work for us rather than shove it out. So I talk a lot about mindset. I talk a lot about how are we looking at this behavior? What are we thinking about this behavior? How do we feel towards this behavior? How do we feel towards ourselves? We tend to be so critical of ourselves. And I know this, I've been somebody who's been incredibly critical of myself. And we tend to say things to ourselves that we would never say to other people, not a million years, nor would we want anybody else to say to us. And so in part of that mindset, I encourage people, talk to yourself like you would talk to somebody you really care for, or a child, or how you want somebody to talk to you. We would hate it if there was somebody looking over our shoulder all day long telling us what a terrible job we were doing, right? We'd be like, get out of here. Like, I don't want you here, right?
Right.
We can't do that with ourselves, but it has the same impact on us. When we talk to ourselves that way, it has the same impact as if we had somebody else kind of standing over us. So I encourage people to shift their mindsets. In that mindset piece is also shifting into a growth mindset. People often come to me and they say, well, I've been doing this for so many years, like I can't change it, right? Whether it's the behavior, whether it's something else. And it's like, well, okay, just because you've been doing it for that long doesn't mean you have to keep on doing it. You can choose to do things differently. So that's one piece, is the mindset piece. The other piece that I really focus on that I think is a bit different from other programs for behavior change is that I really encourage people to invite in strategies, coping strategies that they feel good about, coping strategies that they like, coping strategies that they want to use. And I invite them to bring those in such a way that it crowds out the unwanted behavior. I don't want to focus on taking away the hair pulling or the skin picking or the stress eating. I don't want to take that stuff away. I want to crowd it out with the stuff that we feel good about.
I never heard that approach before. I love that.
So yeah, and I think that's where my approach is a bit different, is both that mindset shift and crowding out the behaviors, and then the strategies work once we have that part.
So walk us through, if you don't mind, maybe a piece of the mindset. We don't have to go down the whole thing, but I would like to have like maybe a piece of that, like how you do it, like what is it that you say, and the crowding out. I've never heard that before, so I'd love you to kind of highlight that for us.
Sure. So for the mindset piece, a lot of times I just kind of wait until somebody gives me that gold, right? It is very easy in conversation for people to kind of show that negative self-talk or show that disdain for this behavior that they're struggling with. And so usually once I hear that in their conversation and how they talk, I say like, hey, I want to challenge that, or I want to push on that, right? Like, this is the way you see it, but is there another way to look at it? And sometimes people think I'm crazy. I even have somebody who just started my coaching program the other day who messaged me and said, I thought it was crazy when you first said it. I was like, what is she talking about? And she was like, I've given it some more thought. And yeah, this behavior has helped me through tough times.
Yeah.
So for how I do that is I just wait for it to show up. And then I say, hey, let me challenge that. Let's push on that for a minute and see if we can look at it another way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's the part of the mindset piece, is just wait for it to pop up. For the crowding out, I encourage people to, pick a couple behaviors that they want to try out. See if you feel good about it. Not everything is going to feel good to you. Some people like meditation. Some people like yoga. Some people need to go for a walk. Some people need to call a friend, right? And the same thing isn't going to work for everybody. So I invite people to pick a couple and then just try them out. See, does that work for you? Does it not work for you? Would it work for you under different circumstances, but we have to tackle this other thing that's getting in the way? Sleep is a good example of that, right? Sometimes people know that they need more sleep, but it's like, okay, well, we've got to tackle A, B, and C before you can get to bed at a time that you feel good about. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it is just bringing in those strategies and then kind of accumulating the strategies that feel good to people, accumulating the strategies that they want to. Because if all of those behaviors are just trying to soothe us and we can bring in other soothing behaviors that we feel good about, we lessen the need for the unwanted behaviors.
That's,
and we're still
so good,
fulfilling that purpose, right? Because that behavior just wants to soothe us. So if we can say, yeah, I want to be soothed too, but I want to be soothed in this way, then that kind of lessens the load on the behavior that we're really struggling with and we don't want in our lives.
Yeah. So good. I love that idea of just creating like lifestyle habits around you that then start to the other stuff just starts to go away. And that's really true, isn't it? Because when you start to think about like maybe old habits you had when you were in your teens, then when you're in your 20s, they're not there anymore. And then when you're in your 30s, you're different than you were in your 20s. So that's very true. Like we change all the time. Sometimes subconsciously, we just change because it doesn't fit us anymore.
Yeah.
And then there's some things we just keep bringing into maybe reinventing it in a not productive way. I don't think these things are good or bad. I think they just are sometimes, although they can make you feel in your body bad,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So I'm glad you're bringing awareness to all of that, because it helps people to like pause and say, wait, okay. So I thought Laura was crazy, but maybe she's not so crazy. Maybe she actually is making some kind of sense here. This is kind of a little bit off, but do you give these tools or try to give these tools to your teens?
Yeah. Teens are actually a great group. I encourage people of all ages. I'm sure that there's an age at which it's young enough that it's not effective, right? But for teens, definitely. Because again, we're just bringing in more awareness. We're bringing in that self-compassion, and that works at any age, right? We can grow that awareness and we can grow that self-compassion at any age. Now, the awareness might be capped at a certain point for, a teenager, right? Just because of their developmental level, but it's always beneficial to increase awareness.
Now they know it all, Laura. What are you talking
Oh, yeah,
about?
you're right. All right. They got one in. Yeah.
You don't know anything. They know everything. Okay.
You're right. You're right. Apparently I've lost knowledge according to my teens, right? As I've gotten older. Yeah. Yeah.
That's so funny. So tell me about like now, you know, now that people know that, well, first of all, that they should be working with you because you apparently know everything you're freaking doing and it's so evident. So you know, for those of us who are out here struggling with these things, because you know, I until you just said that about what did we call it? It was BFRB.
Yeah.
I didn't really notice that those were something that I was doing to cope. It was just, I thought it was just a thing, right? Like the biting of the nails. And the, I knew it was a bad thing because my parents would tell me all the time that was a bad thing to do, right? And then biting of the cheek, I still do that when I'm anxious. I didn't realize it until you just said that. I'm like, oh my God, I do that all the time. Shaking of my leg, like constantly shaking the leg, shaking the leg, shaking the leg. Is that part of it too? Is that like
a Oh yeah, they're all regulation tools. And yeah. One of the kind of tricky things about them, especially these BFRBs, but I think it applies to other behaviors as well, is that they help regulate from both directions. If you feel overstimulated, such as anxious, they can bring you down to a healthy stimulation. If you feel understimulated, such as bored, they can bring you up to a healthy stimulation level. So they're just really handy. I talk about them as brain hacks, right? And so yeah, like bringing in that respect for what they're trying to do is really important.
Mm-hmm. That's really smart. Actually, it's amazing, isn't it? How our minds always try to help us in any way, right? Like even when we are afraid, we're fearful. Well, obviously, it's because we're not doing something it knows. So it's trying to protect us from doing it, even though it's silly. We're not running from lions and tigers and bears anymore. But I love that. You're absolutely right. Maybe I do something called parts integration, right? Where So I
like
do that
work.
I like that too. And it was when I do parts integration with the women in my coaching group, they're like, oh my God, that is amazing. I'm like, yeah, it is, right? Because those parts really both want the same exact great things for you. But when it comes to like, I'm just going to be on the personal level, when it comes to like what I told you that I've been going through this last, you know, 2 weeks and how hard it's been on me and my psyche and my, you know, like I've just been like struggling with it and eating things I'm not supposed to be eating. And then now I'm shaming myself because, oh my God, I'm like, you know, lost 4 pounds, gained 2. What the hell? Like that kind of thing. That sometimes is so deep seated in us, right? That it's hard to navigate that, especially alone, right? So, with your hair pulling and what you were going through, did you seek help for that, or did you learn to do that yourself as you were going through through your teachings and learnings and all that?
It was a good combination of both because, you know, as I mentioned, I went to conferences and you know, read books and got, you know, as much information as I could. But truly, those things really focused a lot on the strategies. And I won't say that they completely ignored the emotional or the mindset aspect of it, but it was really a heavy focus on strategies. So I think it was a good combination of those things. I don't think I could have done it without all the workshops and books and so on and trainings. But I also couldn't have done it without the self-compassion. And that's something that I've just been, you know, I'm still on a journey to develop it. But it's one of those things that I often tell people, you just start somewhere and then you practice it and you practice it and you practice it and you practice it 1,000 more times. And then it starts to get a little easier and you keep practicing it.
Did you feel a sense of unburden and freedom when you finally stopped lying to everyone?
Yes. Yeah. It was really scary at first. And honestly, I had to address lying to myself first.
Yeah.
I was telling myself that I was happy in my marriage and that I was working all of these hours for the money and all of these things that finally I realized I was just lying to myself because I was uncomfortable with the truth. So first I had to address being honest with myself.
It's so hard, isn't it?
It's so hard. Because it's so scary, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, at first I had to start there. And then with other people, you know, boundaries were not my strong suit. I wasn't raised with this understanding of healthy boundaries. And so setting boundaries with people was really scary. And in the beginning, it felt like, oh my gosh, I've done the wrong thing. I said the wrong thing. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said that I want pizza instead of Chinese because now they're angry at me, right?
Right.
But with that fear, there was also a little bit of feeling good too. And so as I kept practicing that, and as I kept, you know, really asserting those boundaries, the fear part subsided and that feeling good part grew and strengthened. And so that gave me the ability to keep on going and building those.
That's so good. It's like what you were talking about with crowding out the bad behavior, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Boundaries is a big one. I think more and more women are starting to maybe hear about it more or learn about it more. I mean, men probably too, but I know for women, it seems to be a bigger issue, right? Because we tend to not have boundaries with our children, not have boundaries with our spouse, not have boundaries with our parents or friends or coworkers or whatever. And that was hard for me too. And when I first said no, I felt like such a bad person when I first said no, because they were like, you can't take me there. I'm like, no. They're like, why? You know, and I honestly had no reason why, other than I didn't want to do it. So I just said, I just can't. I'm busy. That's what I said. But I just remember then feeling this enormous amount of guilt and was like, should I call them back? I should do it anyway. I mean, I'm not doing anything. So what, you know what I'm saying? And I'm like, no, you're going to sit in this right now and you're going to hate it and you're going to be fine. Girl, now is so easy. It is so easy to say no. Well, I am so grateful for boundaries.
Yeah.
So grateful.
Yeah. Yeah, they're so freeing, right? It's so liberating to be able to put yourself first and meet your own needs first.
Yeah.
And not feel responsible that you couldn't meet other people's needs.
Right. I know. And we always feel like we have to meet everybody else's needs, and that keeps us stuck. So tell me about how someone can maybe start the journey today. Like, say someone's listening and they're like, that sounds all good, Laura, and I might be giving you a call, but how the hell do I start today? So do you have like a tip or something that you give people to just start?
Yeah, my tip is usually start small. We often set these huge goals for ourselves, and I'm a big advocate of huge goals. We need to break off a smaller piece to start with. And so I tell people to start small. And so, you know, for the self-compassion, if starting small to you is looking in the mirror and saying you're doing okay today, right? Or you've got this. If that's the amount of self-compassion that is there for you, awesome. Start there. Keep doing that. Build on it, right? If you can do more than that, then awesome. Do more than that, but start small. Same thing with the strategies, bringing those in, right? If there's something that feels really big, okay, break off a smaller piece of it, start small. So my tip would be find something that you want to work off, break off a smaller piece of it, start there and work your way up to the thing that feels really hard or really big.
That's good. And I think people just need to give themselves that type of grace, because you're right. I think we just want to do it so fast, and we don't realize that doing it fast also will make you fall back pretty fast too. And so if you did it, So if you did it in smaller steps, then you won't even realize it. By the time you know it, it's already, you already are winning the game, you know, whatever that game is for you. Yeah. Cause so I know with me, I have an ADHD as well. So I always have to do things like spontaneously fast. Now, 50 times, let's go, you know, and I'm burnt out and going, why are you burnt out? Why do you think, you know? So I get that. And a lot of people who listen to the show are like entrepreneurs and solopreneurs, coaches, things like that. So they feel me when I say that, cause I'm sure they're all going through that. Just like you raised your hand, right? So. Okay, so then we have a starting small piece, right? So they can start with, you know, giving themselves maybe some sort of kudos too for the work that they have done. Because a lot of times we just do so many beautiful and amazing things and we don't even pause to acknowledge it. We don't even pause. Yet if it's somebody we love, we would pause and acknowledge it all day long. Like, we have got to stop doing that to ourselves, Laura. We really, really do. We're worth more than that, right?
Yeah.
So how if someone is listening to you right now, and I'm sure there are probably about 120,000 people listening to you right now. So if they're listening to you right now, Laura, and somebody really wants to work with you, you know, what does that look like, right? Like when they want to work with you, they're listening to you, they're like, okay, but maybe they're a little afraid. Maybe they don't know if they should reach out. So give us how that looks like to work with you.
Sure. So the current program that I have is called Hack Your Habit. And so that is a 12-week program. In that program, there are 8 one-on-one sessions that are kind of tailored towards that behavior stuff. And then also between session messaging using an app so that people can have like ongoing day-to-day support. Because
That's
it's too
good.
hard to wait a week or two to meet again and that
Yeah.
if all these things that happen, right? So that helps people get through that. So, and if anybody is interested in that, then they can go to my website, hopeandhealingcoach.com. For anybody who is not quite there, they're like, yeah, like I want to know more about this, but I don't know that I'm ready to like sign up for coaching or like get into that or this isn't a good time or whatever. I am offering workshops. And so workshops that are kind of
Excellent.
like a slice of the program that my hope is, you know, even like this, that people get value out of it, regardless of whether they want to do coaching or not, that there's something helpful that helps them shift their mindset. And so at this point, I'm offering all of the workshops for free and I'm, you know, working with local places, but also hosting them online. And so those right now are listed under Eventbrite. And under,
Oh,
so my
sure.
brand name there is Hope and Healing Coach as well.
That's great.
So those are the two ways that I would say if this sounds like something that people need more of, I would suggest checking to see is there a workshop that is scheduled that works for you, or going to the website and scheduling a consultation with me if coaching is something that they want to talk about.
You know what I love? I love that it's a 12-week, like you have a timeline, right? Like I was talking to someone and she was telling me that when she got divorced, her kids had a hard time with it. And so she put them in therapy. Well, it's been 9 years and they're still seeing the same therapist for the same thing.
Sure.
And so I kind of pushed back a little bit, you know, because I'm like, well, it's been 9 years. And then I kind of paused, you know, like it's been 9 years. What tools do they have? Well, they don't have tools. They just get medication every week, so they have to go every week. But there was no coping mechanism tools. And I love, Laura, that you have taken the aspect of that and have shifted it into, I'm giving you tools, strategies, mindset work, and all of that so that you can overcome this thing. Right.
Yes,
And
yes.
I love that you're doing this. This is so powerful and so good for people. And I know that a lot of us don't look at these things as, so what if I bite my lip? Or so what if I chew my nails? Or so what if I, no, it's not a so what. You are dealing with something and it's not
Yes.
coming, it's coming through in different ways. And I
Right.
want everybody to be healed. And that's what you want too. Like we just want them to be healed and be better and live their life to the fullest because it's so short. Our life, according to, I'm a Christian. So in the Bible, it says it's like a vapor in the wind. Like that's how fast our life is, right? So if we're here, let's enjoy it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you so much for being here and hanging out on Straight Talk. I appreciate you so much. This was
Well,
awesome.
thank you for
So
having me.
good.
This is
This is
great.
so
I've
good.
had a lot of fun.
Yeah, me too. I learned a lot. So thank you. And just wrap us up by one more time by telling us about the website name again. Okay. And I
The
know
web.
you said it's in Eventbrite as well. So just wrap that up with us one more time and
Sure,
we'll,
yeah.
yeah.
The website is www.hopeandhealingcoach.com and same on Eventbrite. My, you know, name on Eventbrite is Hope and Healing Coach. Sorry,
Okay.
those are the two places that people can find me.
All right. Well, Laura, thank you for being here on Straight Talk.
Oh.
So good, guys. So good. I mean, she practically read my whole freaking like life on I didn't give it to her. She just did it. But it's true, like the biting of the cheek and the, you know, used to the bite the nail and these unwanted behaviors and habits and all these things that I've come through a lot of good things. I've come through a lot of things in my life, but there are still some things that I know need to come up. So Miss Laura might be hearing from me. All right. So thank you guys for hanging out with us. Make sure that you go onto her website, go to Eventbrite. You'll be a part of the workshops because all of us should be on purpose trying to live a better life, a better existence, a better way of being without all the hangups because all of those things that we have are not even true stories. They're just things we told ourselves. They're things that we started to manifest in our life because we felt like that was the right, the truth. Right? It is not true that things are hurting me like that anymore when I was a kid. When I was a kid, that was his problem. He shouldn't have done that to me, but he did. Right? And so those things, the shame and the unforgiveness and the unwanted behaviors and all that, those are no longer true. anymore to serve me. So I have to shift that and find a different way. So guys, I love this conversation so much, and I love everything that Laura is about. Make sure that you go and follow and like and share, subscribe, and share this with someone who can really use this. All right, guys. So thank you guys for being here. This is Nina Perez, and this is Straight Talk, No Sugar Added. Until next time.